You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church. And thank you very much, Godfrey Bertle, for singing our theme song, the Breakout Song. And good morning, everybody. I want to welcome all of you that are attending Breakout Radio Church. We're a global church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We are a house of prayer for all nations. Yes, we are. We're a house of prayer for all nations. So I want to welcome you today to Breakout Radio Church. And Gene and I are delighted that you're with us.
Welcome, Breakout family. We're so thankful for all of you and so thankful that you're joining us today for Breakout Radio Church.
Yes, we are. And we're about to celebrate our second anniversary. Next month will be our second anniversary of Breakout Radio Church.
Yes, that's exciting.
And, you know, some people say, why do you call it Breakout Ministries, Breakout Prayer Network, Breakout Radio Church? Well, the Lord spoke to me after leading prayer at the White House from Micah chapter 2, verse 13. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. So we're breaking out on the right, breaking out on the left.
Yes, we are.
It's a great day, Gene, and we're delighted. We're delighted to be able to lead Breakout Radio Church. And this morning, I want all of you church members to know that I have called every one of your names in prayer, praying for you, and so thankful to have you. I want to welcome all of our new members to Breakout Radio Church. And if you would like to be a member, all you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, click on Breakout Radio Church, and there's a membership link there. And if you'd like to become a member of Breakout Radio Church, well, it's going to be a great day.
Yes, it is. And we're so thankful for all of our members, and we pray for you on a daily basis.
Yeah, we're so thankful to have you in our lives and be able to think. We're thankful to be able to lead a radio church. I've never heard of a radio church, but the Lord put it in my heart.
Yes,
and I know
did.
That I know that we're pioneers. And Gene, I'm so thankful for you as we celebrate 51 years in full-time ministry. It's wonderful.
It's been a great journey.
It has been a great journey. There's nothing that two people can't do if they just work together. So let's pray right now. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Father, Gene and I set ourselves in agreement along with all of the members of Breakout Radio Church that today is going to be a wonderful day. This will be a great service. I pray that you will anoint me as I minister on part two of No Child Left Behind, one of my most important sermons I've ever preached. It's going to be a great day. I pray that you anoint the praise and worship, the ministry of the Word. I pray your will, plan, and purpose be done over the service today. Thankful for all of our members that are here today and those that may be visiting Breakout Radio Church. We want to say welcome. Yes. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. And we're going to have some praise and worship today. And I'm going to be ministering the Word. It's just going to be a wonderful day here at Breakout Radio Church. So it's an honor today to have a couple of my friends from Austin, Texas, that are leading the praise and worship. And their names are Darren Shaw and Eric Triplett. And they lead worship at Austin Cathedral in Austin, Texas. So they're going to lead some praise and worship. And I'm going to minister the word. So here we go.
You are the truth. You are the way. You are the light that brings the new day. We know the rocks won't cry out in our place, 'cause together we stand and together proclaim. Great is your name, O Lord, in all the earth. Great is your name in glory and in word. Great is your name, O Lord, in all the earth. Great is your name in glory and in word. You are the King, and the last, Father, Spirit, and Son. Your praises arise, and your praises go.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name. Great is your name in all the earth, Lord. We are so very, very thankful and grateful. Why don't you just worship him, adore him? Come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we worship you today here at Breakout Radio Church. We are so very, very thankful and grateful to you, O God, for all of your blessings. We honor you. We magnify you. May you, Jesus, be exalted. May you be high and lifted up in Breakout Radio Church. Hallelujah. May you be exalted today. We worship you. We lift up your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name and honor your name and magnify your holy name, O God. You're such a good God, such an awesome God. Hallelujah. Great is your name. Your name, which is above all names. We bless you and honor you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are high and lifted up. So thankful and so grateful. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we want to give you an opportunity this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to give today. Give your tithes and your offerings, your contributions. Remember, the Breakout Radio Church is supported by you, our loyal members. And we're so thankful for you giving your tithes and contributions today. Before we receive our tithes and offerings and contributions, I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and beginning with verse number 5. The Apostle Paul said, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." And the Bible says in verse 10, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality." Well, I just love to give. And Gene and I practiced this for 57 years of marriage, that we bring our tithe, give our tithes, which means 10%, and our contributions. We live to give. And God said to Abraham, "I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing." So I know that we are here to be a blessing. And if Breakout Radio Church, if BRC is your primary church, I encourage you to give and you have your tithes and your contributions. If you have a primary church that you attend other than Breakout Radio Church, then you give your tithes and offerings there. We certainly believe in the local church. We're a different type of church, a church without walls, but we certainly believe in the local church. And if you're members of a local church, you can attend a local church, be faithful to that church, and give your tithes and contributions. But if Breakout Radio Church is your primary church, if Gene and I are your pastors, then we encourage you to be faithful with your giving, with your tithes and contributions. And if we give sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we give bountifully, we will reap bountifully. And so today, I want to give you an opportunity to give. And all you have to do to give, either while you're on your smartphone or your computer, then all you have to do is go to BPNradio.com. That's BPNradio.com. And on that website is your donate button. And you can click on that and you can use your credit card, your debit card, your PayPal card to give your tithes and offerings and contributions today. That's BPNradio.com. And then click on donate right there at the top. Click on donate. And you can give today. If you're making a check, make your check to Breakout Ministries. That's Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. I'm going to give you just a few moments to prepare your giving, and then I'm going to speak a blessing, a pastoral blessing upon you, and ask God to multiply your seed. And as you prepare to give, I'll give you just a moment, and then I'm going to pray over you. Father, I speak a pastoral blessing over every member of Breakout Radio Church who's giving their tithes, offerings, and contributions today. Here on this Lord's Day, we know that this church is supported by the faithful tithes and giving of our church members. I pray that you would bless them bountifully, bless them abundantly, and Lord, I pray that you would cause every good work that they're doing to abound. I speak blessings upon them as they give today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, before I preach today, this second part of No Child Left Behind, which I started about 3 weeks ago, I'm going to ask a friend of ours who's a teenager and lives in Austin, Texas, the daughter of our friends, Gerald and Melinda Chavez, their daughter Meredith Chavez is going to sing a special song, and then I'm going to come back and minister. Here's Meredith. Okay, thank you so very, very much, Meredith. Beautiful song indeed. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this message today, this ministry today, as I share my second in a series, No Child Left Behind. Anoint our ears to hear, our spiritual ears to hear, our spiritual eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, I'll read it for you, and most of you are very familiar with it. And it shall come to pass. These are the words that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, later rehearsed in Acts chapter 2 by the apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. And of course, we know that Pentecost has happened 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said to his disciples, go and tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. 50 days later, it suddenly came to pass, the sound of a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, all of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then Peter got up, and he read, he rehearsed the prophetic word that Joel had given many, many years before. When Joel prophesied, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. So the greatest, the primary promise that Peter gave, that Joel gave and Peter rehearsed, that the spoken by the Lord, was that this anointing, this Holy Ghost Spirit power is going to be poured out upon your sons and your daughters. They're going to prophesy. One translation says they're going to preach, and your young men are going to see visions. Of course, your young daughters also. So Peter said, he concluded his sermon by saying, for the promise, here in Acts chapter 2, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. That means generation after generation after generation. So what an amazing promise. What an amazing promise that was. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, when I preached the first part of this message, I talked about Exodus chapter 10, where Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, all right, go and serve Jehovah your God, but just who is it you want to go? And Moses said, we're going to go with our sons and our daughters. We're going to take everything with us, but, you know, Pharaoh said, in the name of God, I will not let you take your little ones. I'll not let you take your children. I'll not let you take your son and daughters. He said, you can go and worship Jehovah, but you leave your flocks here and you leave your children here. And so Moses was not willing to do that, because for hundreds of years, the children of Israel had lived in the land of Egypt, serving the Pharaoh of that land in the most inhumane surroundings one could ever imagine. Long, hard days of labor and toil, making brick, going to work with their children, being watched over like dogs by Pharaoh's soldiers. No life and no hope. Some of these families lived under these conditions their entire life. Long, hard days, 7 days a week. But when they began to call out to Jehovah God, he responded to their prayers, as he always does, and called a man by the name of Moses to demand their freedom to go and worship their God. He chose Moses because he was a faithful man and a servant, serving his father-in-law on the backside of the desert for 40 years. He had no public ministry for 40 years, but he obeyed immediately, started preaching his message to Pharaoh, that wicked leader of Egypt, and the message was, let my people go, including my children, my sons, and my daughters. And of course, as I shared with you last time, at first Pharaoh laughed at him, mocked at him, gave the children of Israel more work to do, and they had to get it done before they could go home and go to bed. It was a trying time. But finally, after much suffering because of the plagues, Moses was willing to let them go with one condition. Pharaoh was willing to let them go because of one condition. They had to leave their children behind. And why not? The children somehow could make it on their own. They would eventually get out some way. But Moses said, no, we're not going to leave one child behind. No child is going to be left behind. So Jehovah God continued to put pressure on Pharaoh until he finally conceded. So the children of Israel, after 400 years, went out of Egypt to go to their homeland, to go to their promised land. And once again, the Pharaohs of America have brought families, children under bondage in this nation. What is the focus? To take our children. What is his main purpose? To take our children. So this morning, there must be a proclamation from each of us as Christians, as believers, that we will not go into our promised land, our places of business, our new homes, working for retirement, making a living, going through life, making certain dreams come true, while our children are left behind, making their own choices and decisions about life, about their education, about where they want to go to church or not, where they want to go to church, or what friends they want to have, or where they want to live, or the many decisions they want to make. We must give them special guidance. What they watch on TV, what movies they go to. We must monitor what they watch on the internet. Pharaoh is out to get your children so that you'll leave your children behind. That voice that says, let them make their own decisions, their own choices. Don't be so strict. Don't be so legalistic. Let them choose their own identity, their own gender, their own way. But I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 22 and 6. What does it say? It says, train up a child in the way they should go. The original translation says, train up a child in the way they must go. Teach a child to choose the right path. And when he is older, she's older, he will remain upon it. The Bible said, when a student is taught, they will be just like their teacher. And so we as parents are responsible for the total training of the total child. Even if you are a single parent, you're responsible for the total training, the total upbringing of the total child. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 11. I like this. It says, so keep these commandments carefully in mind, tie them to your hand, and remind you to obey them, to tie them to your forehead between your eyes. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're sitting at home, when you're out walking at bedtime, before breakfast. Write them upon the doors of your houses and upon your gates. One translation says, place these words on your heart. Get them deep inside you. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall in bed at night. Inscribe them on the doorposts and gates of your city so that you'll live a long time, and your children with you on the soil that God promised to give your ancestors for as long as there is a sky over the earth. So what is our primary investment in life? Is it our home? No. Is it our job? No. Is it our business, our car, our 401k, 501k, whatever it may be? No. The primary reason that we're on earth is to train our children to raise up godly generations. Godly generations. I believe that I'm in the ministry today because of my training as a child. Financially, we were very poor in the little town called Comanche, Oklahoma. I read an article recently in the Oklahoman that Comanche is one of the poorest towns in the entire state of Oklahoma. The per capita income last year was $13,000. Amazing in America. And yet it was a poverty town as well when I was growing up. And we were poor financially, but we were certainly not poor spiritually, because my dad chose to respond to the call to preach. He had a secure job working for an oil company, but he left it all behind to preach the gospel. And most of the time, his ministry did not provide adequate income. So he painted houses to make a living, and he put paper on walls and did what he could. Sometimes there was very little work, and we never had a lot of extra. So financially, we were quite poor, but spiritually, we were very rich. My dad provided an atmosphere of prayer in our home. My dad provided me with an example of how to be kind and loving to his wife. I never heard my dad raise his voice to my mom. I never heard them get into a shouting match. My dad provided a safe environment. He taught me how to pray. He provided me an example of how to live life, a godly life. Even though he never attended any of my ball games, never took me fishing very often, he did provide a godly example. He taught me about church attendance. When he was not a pastor, he always chose the church where I was to attend. And we never asked, are we going to church today? That was never a question that was asked in my home. We knew when Sunday morning came, we were going to church. And I just went along because I knew that's what was expected of me. I remember my life changed when I was just a little boy, 5 or 6 years old, when our church in Comanche, Oklahoma, had a 6-week revival. And we attended almost every night of that 6-week revival. We'd be up late, Holy Ghost services, and I'd get up early the next morning, go to school. But it made a major impact on my life. And he never left me alone at home while I went to church. I never got to choose what church we were going to. He always chose the church that he felt like would be best for he and his family. And he taught me the principles of the Bible, how to pray. He helped me choose my friends, and very seldom did he ever let me spend the night with a friend. My dad was a disciplinarian, and often he used a belt on me when I needed it. He'd probably get charged with child abuse during these days, but he used a belt on me. My mother also participated in using a switch from one of the willow trees in our front yard. When I would disobey and my dad would be gone off to work, she wouldn't wait. She wouldn't say, now, when your daddy gets home, Dale Wayne, you're going to get a whooping. No, she'd just say, you go out there and get me a switch. We had several willow trees in the front yard of our home, and I would go out and pick out a switch, and she would take that switch, and she would get it singing. That switch would sing, and she would tan the back of my legs until I cried, until my will was broken, and I repented, and they disciplined me. And I knew that there were boundaries they had set for me, and if I went past those boundaries, then I got a whipping. I knew what the consequences were, and then they told me what I did wrong and loved me. And so even when I rebelled as a teenager, my parents were not willing to leave me behind. I still went to church, didn't stay home. There was not a question about it. They still had prayer with me. They still set an example of faithfulness in front of me, and they trained me in the way that I must go. So that's what we must do. Our most important asset in life is our children. No child left behind. And when I look at our history, pilgrims came to this nation with their children to get a new life. For over 100 years in America, the children would meet in the church Monday through Friday for class. They'd have church on Sunday, then they'd meet in the church building Monday through Friday for classes. And their only textbook for over 100 years was the Bible and McGuffey's Reader. That was the foundation of our nation. So what happened to us? How do we get where we're at today? Eventually, in the 1920s, the parents became too busy. The church voluntarily delegated the responsibility of training the children to the state. What a dark day that has proven to be. Martin Luther said, I advise no parent to place their children in a school where the scriptures do not remain paramount. Decades again, his warning came to pass. And so during that time, the church provided the total education for over 100 years. But now, of course, that has all changed. Once again, we have a Pharaoh in this nation who is demanding that we leave our children behind, leave our children to them. And the Pharaoh's called public education. It's called social media. It's called the internet. It's called internet games. It's called secular humanism. It's called a gender neutral society. It's called free choice. All of these Pharaoh voices are demanding that we leave our children behind. Let them make the choice. And of course, the major proponent of all of that has been secular humanism, which is now actually the religion of our public school system. It was introduced by John Dewey, and it took 30 years for this humanistic manifesto that he introduced in 1933. It took about 30 years for it to be set in place. And of course, secular humanism does not believe in a divine creator. It does not believe in God. They believe in evolution, that man is a part of nature. They believe in amorality. Whatever makes you feel good, then do it. We're living in the days where the Bible said, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We're living in the days where the Bible declared, and there arose a generation that did not know the Lord. And that is what is happening today with our sons and daughters, this millennial generation. There has been a generation that has risen. I'm not talking about the totality of all of America, but I'm talking about a major part of it, a generation that does not know the Lord. And all of this violence, I mean, even the violence that took place in Santa Fe, Texas this past Friday, where 10 people were killed by a fellow student. Students killing students. But it all started in 1963 when we took prayer, the Ten Commandments, the Bible out of the classroom, and we implemented secular humanism. So President George W. Bush, he saw the disaster, and he said, I'm going to try to change things. So in 2001, President George W. Bush enacted the No Child Left Behind Act, and it was an act of Congress that reauthorized the elementary and secondary education system of our nation. It included provisions applying to disadvantaged students. It supported standard-based education reform, based on the premise that setting high standards and establishing measurable goals could improve individual outcomes in education. The act required states to develop assessments and basic skills to receive federal school funding. States had to give these assessments to all students at select grade levels. And the contents included over 20 different categories in which to study and implement No Child Left Behind. Was No Child Left Behind a success? No, it wasn't. And why wasn't it? Because nowhere in the many pages of definitions, rules, regulations, and implementation did it mention the involvement of the church or the parents. And so they thought they could do it without the involvement of the parents and the church. So this program did not succeed. It died 14 years later in 2015, replaced by the Obama administration, a program called Every Student Succeeds, which, of course, has become a total joke because, once again, the parents and the church was left out. And I disagreed, of course, initially with Hillary Clinton's book. She wrote the book, It Takes a Village. No, it doesn't take a village, but it does take a godly man and woman. It takes a godly husband and wife. And so We enacted the No Child Left Behind, but it didn't work. Moses said, we're going to take everything with us, and we're not going to leave one child behind. We will take all of our children with us. And so we're in the same war. Moses had to go to war in order to get the children out. But Satan now, once again, is demanding our children. He's demanding our children. We are living in a society today where we have lost many of our children because we go about our business, leave our children behind. We leave our children behind to work it out for themselves, to be taught in many cases by atheists and even Christian teachers who cannot pray, cannot read the scriptures or mention the name of Jesus, who must teach that Genesis chapter 1 is not true. In the beginning, God. They say, no, in the beginning, it was not God. So we have a church, we have a millennial generation who've lost their way. We'll soon make the rules and regulations of this nation if we keep going down this road. A generation that does not know the Lord. A generation that has been trained in secular humanism, believing in such lies and deceptions, until we have a generation of young people who have lost their identity. They don't know who they are. A gender-neutral society. What is a gender-neutral society? The dictionary says a gender-neutral society, or gender-neutralism, describes the idea that policies, language, and other social institutions should avoid distinguishing roles according to people's sex or gender in order to avoid discrimination arising from the impression that there are social roles for which one gender is more suited than the other. How ridiculous can we be? Pharaoh is at it again. Thousands of years later, he is at it again. What is the issue? This is the issue. We have a generation of young people who don't know who they are. Moses said at the burning bush, who am I? So God said, it's what's in your hand, your true identity. And so the church and parents provided the total education for over 100 years in this nation. But now all that has changed. Everything has changed. And Pharaoh is saying, leave your child behind. But we as parents, we must teach and train our children who God is, who we are as a family, and who they are as individuals. And we must oppose everyone else who would attempt to train them differently. A loss of identity in this nation. We must teach a child, our children, the right path. And the Bible said when they're older, they will not depart from that. And so today, I am encouraging you not to leave any of your children behind, that you must be involved in their decisions. You must be involved in the choices that they make. You cannot leave them to choose, make their own decisions. You cannot afford to have a child-led family. A child-led family where they determine where you're going to live, where you're going to go to church, when you're going to watch TV, when you're not going to watch TV, and all of these things. We cannot allow it to happen. We must be like Abraham. Why? You know, the question is, why did God choose Abraham? I mean, was he more godly than anybody else? Was he a greater prophet than anyone else? Was he special in some other way? I'll tell you why God chose him. He chose him because here's what the Bible says about him. For Abraham shall become a mighty nation, and he will be a source of blessing for all the nations of the earth. And I have picked him. Listen to this. I picked him out to have godly descendants and a godly household. men who are just and good so that I can do for him all I have promised. One translation says, yes, I've settled on him, Abraham, as the one to train his children and future families to observe God's way of life, live kindly and generously and fairly so that God can complete in Abraham what he promised him. So that is from the book of Deuteronomy. God said, this is a reason why I have chosen Abraham to be the father of nations, because he was willing to train his children and lead his family and to train godly generations. So Abraham trained his children and his grandchildren. Remember, his son Isaac and grandson Jacob lived with him, and he set the pattern for raising up godly generations. Years later, the children of Israel were greatly challenged by this principle, of course, when Pharaoh came back and tried to get them to leave their children behind. But you got to realize that Abraham was not willing to do it. He was not willing to leave any child behind. And that's what must be in our hearts today, that we will not leave our children, will not leave our sons and daughters behind. We won't do it. And we will, if necessary, we will fight for them as long as we have to fight for them. What did Nehemiah say? He said, you must fight for your sons and your daughters. You must fight for your sons and daughters. And so sometimes we have to do spiritual warfare. So some people may say, well, you know, my son is not serving God, not living for God, and I guess I'll just have to leave them behind, let him go, let her go, let them make their own way, let them make their own decisions, leave them behind. No, my mom and dad saw that there was a while during my teen years that I was not serving God, but they were not willing to leave me behind. And so they had to do some spiritual warfare. And sometimes if our sons or daughters are not serving God, we're teaching them, training them in the way they should go, and it seems like they are straying, they're becoming rebellious, we got to realize that we have to fight for them. One way we fight for them is make sure they're trained, and whoever is teaching them is teaching them the way we would have them to go. That's why homeschooling is rising in America. That's why Christian education. I believe in Christian schools. That's why Christian schools are rising in attendance. And we now have the largest Christian school association, ACSI. Now serves 5,300 member schools in approximately 100 countries, an enrollment of 1.2 million students. Homeschooling is rising, and I believe that we need to have training. You know, the Bible said that Paul took Timothy as a spiritual son, but he had been taught by his mother and his grandmother. Lois and Eunice were training him and teaching him, even though he did not have a father in the home. And so we need to be responsible for the training of the total child. That means that we train them in the morning, in the evening. And so we train them when we walk, when we rise up, when we lie down. And where they go to school, we decide if they're going to be homeschooled, even if we have to sacrifice, the mom has to stay home and not work. We make that decision, and even if we have to pay, live a little more economically diligently. In order to send our sons and daughters to Christian school, whatever it takes, we've got to have training. And if they go astray, then we have to rise up and do spiritual warfare on their behalf. Nehemiah chapter 4, here's what it said. Nehemiah said, I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. Another translation said, I looked over the situation. I called together the leaders and the people and said to them, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. Fight for your friends, your families, and your homes. We have to do spiritual warfare. You heard me tell the story of my son when he was 16 being put in jail. And they called me from the police station, and I was a pastor in Oklahoma City. Said it was almost midnight. And they said, your son's in jail, Pastor, you got to come get him out. On the way, the voice of the enemy said to me, you're going to lose your son. He'll never serve God. He's going to always be rebellious. So I declared at that moment in time, Satan, you can't have my son. I will not leave my son behind. I was challenged for a while with my daughter, but I declared I will not leave my daughter behind. I will not leave them behind. If necessary, I will fight for them. I will do war for them. And so Gene and I realized that our son was trying to be taken from us. So we put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. And we began to do spiritual warfare. The Lord gave us a word that we warred with. You need a word from God concerning your son, concerning your daughter. And you need to do spiritual warfare, as Paul said to Timothy, do spiritual warfare with that prophetic word that has been given to you. And so we begin to do spiritual warfare concerning our son, saying, Rick will work with us in the ministry. He will serve God. He will be a man of God. We did spiritual warfare. And, of course, today Rick Gentry works with us, and he has godly children that love the Lord. We have godly grandchildren, but we had to war for that. Our daughter Darla, who gave the introduction here to our church service, serves the Lord, and her children. And so we have to realize our grandchildren, we got to realize that sometimes we have to fight for them. We teach them. We train them. We make choices, decisions. We don't allow them to make their own decisions. They can't make their own decisions about who their friends are. They can't make their own decisions about if they want to go to church or where they want to go to church or where they want to go to school. They don't make decisions about their education. Even when they finish high school, if we're going to help pay for their college, we need to help make those decisions. We cannot leave a child behind, because Pharaoh's voices are warring, desiring to have our sons and our daughters. And we declare in the name of Jesus, mighty men and women of God, we must have mighty children. We must declare that we will have godly generations who will serve you, O God, and live for you and do great exploits for you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for you right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray that no child will be left behind. No child will be left behind. That every parent and grandparent will be involved in the training of the children, the grandchildren, if necessary. Even single parent homes, even single mothers will declare, my son, my daughter, they're going to be trained. And the promise that was given on the day of Pentecost, the training that was the word of the Lord that came on the day of Pentecost, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions. We believe we can attach our names and the names of our grandchildren to those words. I declare that Rick Gentry will prophesy and have visions, and that Darla Gentry will prophesy, and Ruth Gentry will prophesy, and Taylor Gentry Alexander, she'll prophesy, have visions, and Megan Gentry, and Brittany Greenlee, and Jordan Greenlee, and Hunter Gentry, and Brock Gentry, Daniel Alexander, they're going to preach, they're going to prophesy, they're going to do your will. Will not let one child, one grandchild be left behind in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will train them. We will set the example for them. Actions sometimes speak louder than words. And we will declare, my son, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughter, they will serve you. They will live for you. They will be mighty in spirit. And even when they get older and they rebel, or they may choose another direction, we know that the teaching and the training and the input, the influence that we have had in their lives will remain with them. We will continue to pray for them. We will teach them. We will do spiritual warfare on their behalf. In Jesus' name, we'll not leave our children behind. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I know that you blessed Abraham because he was willing. He was willing to raise up godly generations. I'm thankful for my mother and my father, O.C. and Delia Gentry, not willing to allow me to be left behind, but kept declaring, son, you're going to preach the gospel. Son, you're going to be mighty in spirit. And so in Jesus' name, I pray for every parent, every grandparent that's attending Breakout Radio Church today. In Jesus' name, Lord, that they will be godly examples, and they will teach and train, set the example, and if necessary, do spiritual warfare on behalf of their sons and their daughters. Make any commitment or sacrifice, if necessary, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And I want to pray for those of you that don't know the Lord. You say, I don't know Jesus. I've never asked him to come into my heart, or I'm far away from God. I got disappointed with God, or I went astray. I want to come back home to him today. I want to renew my commitment to him, or I'm not really sure if I'm a Christian or not. Would you say this prayer after me? For the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you say this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And with your strength and help, I'll live for you and serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. If you said that prayer, you can find a local church that preaches the full gospel, or you can be a member of Breakout Radio Church. And all you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, click on Breakout Radio Church, and fill out the membership link. I'll put you on our membership row and be praying for you and serve you and help you any way I possibly can. Well, it's been a wonderful day at Breakout Radio Church. Gene and I sure love you. This is Mrs. America's birthday week. May the 23rd, this Wednesday, is going to be her birthday. I bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful day. Thanks for coming to church today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.